On today's Compassion Radio.
And as I was doing college speed down this dark and windy road, somebody decided that they would leave their Dodge Ram truck parked in the fast lane with no lights on. I abruptly found it, swerved left to avoid hitting it, but realized there were people standing in the island. Didn't feel like killing anybody that night, so I swerved back right, which left the right side and the front bumper completely pristine, but left the Dodge Ram, the engine, and my lap all fighting for the same slot.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. Welcome to Compassion Radio. Now, who doesn't love to hear testimony stories that invoke God's great power that often include maybe a dramatic story of an individual brought to his or her knees, perhaps even a story of hitting a place called rock bottom? Maybe your testimony of faith isn't quite that dramatic. We all have a story to tell and a testimony to share. On today's broadcast, Bram Floria is going to introduce us to a new friend who truly has one whopper of a narrative to share. And indeed, it's so compelling that we're going to need to extend this out to tomorrow's program as well. As a tease of what's to come, today's guest happens to be a first-class musician, and we'll be hearing a sample in the next few minutes. Here's Bram to make introductions.
I'm sitting across the table here at the Jim's Diner in the west end of Austin, Texas today with a new friend of mine, Jason Black. Now, Jason, welcome to Compassion Radio.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you, sir.
I'm going to introduce you as somebody who is a financial counselor, an opera singer, a near-death survivor, and a father of six. Is that a fair summation of what you do in life?
I don't know if it's a summation, but those are definitely facets of what I do, yes.
Okay. So it obviously was the reason that we met in the first place. We had some friends in common that knew a bit of your testimony, your story, and yours is not a traditional testimony by any means, but it is sensational in some ways, and it gave you a platform. Now, having a platform, as we understand in radio, is crucial to getting people activated to do the things that you feel passionate about and that God has laid on your heart to do.
Yes, sir.
And he certainly gave you a unique platform. And you have had an opportunity to transform a lot of lives in some really unique ways. So let's just start at the crux here. What was it that got your attention and turned your heart towards the things of God?
Well, I came up as the son of a Southern Baptist minister. And so I knew who God was from a very early age. But as far as you put it, getting my attention, I can be a bit more obstinate. And so I went from dutiful son to college, and college can often lead to a bit more of a rebellious phase, and I was true to form on that.
And the first shiny thing that came along, you bit hard, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So what road did you end up going down for a while?
That of quote-unquote self-sufficiency, of pride, of worldliness, of, you know, essentially trying to fill in the blanks for myself as opposed to allowing God to be in charge of my life.
And by doing that, you're basically defining the American dream or the pursuit of it.
Absolutely, yeah. If you want to look at it from a worldly perspective, I had success that somebody in their mid-40s would be envious of. In the midst of my college years, I'd already accomplished a great deal. So I was working internationally, professionally, before I'd even graduated, studying to do that. So,
and what was that thing?
Well, at the time, I was a performer. So I have two equally useless majors. I have degrees in vocal performance and theater.
Good. And both greatly useful if you're pursuing an artistic life, but not necessarily a life that will be paying the bills later.
Sure. Well, I mean, I was actually not only paying the bills, but they were paying to essentially take me international for free. So I was having a great deal of fun. It was a wonderful thing to be not constrained by responsibilities.
It's not unreasonable to say that that kind of success is exceptional, and it's a great thing. And obviously, it reflects on your native talent that God put a lot of, as we would say in the industry, chops in you. And so you were singing your heart out there, and people responded to it. You had an emotional connection with people in the way you sang, the way you performed. And so you took it a bit for granted, though, I understand.
I'm sure it's just me. You are obviously much more familiar and grateful for the giftings that God's given you. I'm apparently a little short-sighted in the fact that...
No, I'm sure I'm much more humble than you.
Obviously. I'm sure none of your listeners share this concern either, but I personally had good reason from a worldly perspective to be prideful and lived into it fully. I was an operatic tenor and living into the stereotype thereof.
Yep.
So it was unfortunate that it took some bigger things to remind me not only of who I am in Christ, but the fact that everything that I have came from God and was for God.
Okay. So people talk sometimes about it took God taking something away. And of course, people are blaming him for the thing that happens. I don't think you think about it quite the same way. But there was something that was almost irretrievably and dramatically lost for you. And what was that?
Yes, sir. Well, the Bible says that God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt.
Yes.
And that he'll never let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, right? And he'll always provide a means of escape. So I don't blame any of the issues that have gone down in my life on God. As a matter of fact, I am immensely grateful in hindsight for his provision and healing and deliverance from all of those things that essentially had their roots in my rebellion, not in his plan. So
what was it? What was the thing?
Well, there are multiple, quote-unquote, certain death instances where I've literally been written off at one point or another where I should be, quote-unquote, dead. Not the least of which was when I was coming back from standing ovation, doing an opera that many don't do until their late 30s and early 40s, but I was doing it for the third time to great accolades at, 23, 24 years old. As I was coming back from Livermore Valley Opera, where I was doing the Duke of Mantua and Rigoletto, I was driving back into San Jose, where I was a student at San Jose State, as well as a resident artist with Opera San Jose. And as I was coming back in, the freeway is called 680, and it's quite windy. There are no lights, and it was the middle of the night. There were no moon and no stars either, so it was pitch black. And I was doing, let's just call it college speed, and in a rather flimsy car. And as I was doing college speed down this dark and windy road, somebody decided that they would leave their Dodge Ram truck parked in the fast lane with no lights on. I abruptly found it, swerved left to avoid hitting it, but realized there were people standing in the island. Didn't feel like killing anybody that night, so I swerved back right, which left the right side and the front bumper completely pristine, but left the Dodge Ram, the engine, and my lap all fighting for the same slot, which collapsed my femur into itself like a telescope, broke every bone in my left leg, my left arm, and gave me brain trauma so severe that it reduced me to the mental capacity of a 2-year-old. My wife might argue whether or not that last part ever changed. And there were all manner of mini miracles and testimonies that are within that story. We can flesh out if you like. But after getting cut out of the car for 20 minutes with the jaws of life, the impact to my body was nothing compared to the damage done to my brain. Literally, the closest approximation they could come was a stroke. And so I went from the pride of life, performing internationally, professionally, to being surrounded by octogenarians to be forgotten about in a stroke patient home in a millisecond.
I trust you're enjoying this compelling conversation on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll get right back to it in just a moment. As we start off another brand new year, this month we're on a recruiting mission, so to speak. We want you to become part of our vision team. If you haven't considered becoming a monthly partner before now, please do. A regular gift of any size is literally our loaves and fishes. Why? Because we know that every time you give, you're praying for us and for God to multiply your gift. We've seen God do that very thing time after time. Join us as we bring the compassion of Jesus this month to the neediest places on earth. Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. Friends, we don't go unless you go with us. So give us a call today. And now, back to the program.
And so I went from the pride of life, performing internationally, professionally, to being surrounded by octogenarians, to be forgotten about in a stroke patient home in a millisecond.
Yep.
So by the grace of God and immense amounts of patience and generosity and faithfulness from others, I learned to walk again. My brain was restored, such as it is. And I got back on stage, graduated, suckered my then girlfriend into becoming my bride, moved down to Los Angeles to pursue the dream, so to speak. Everything was firing on all cylinders. I was getting work in not only session work as a singer, but I was singing with LA Opera, sharing the stage with people like Placido Domingo. I was doing commercials and movies, and things were working out.
Yep. So you're on the mend, you're on the ascend at the same
time. Yes, one would hope, yes. And so
again, this is the triumphal story.
Ta-da!
There, right?
Well, and you know, at that point, the reason I brought up that particular story, there are countless times where he has intervened in my life in rather dramatic ways. But the reason I told that story was to give a perspective of, even at that point, because of my perspective in life. And, you know, I was raised, I'm the eldest of eight children. I was raised to be very self-sufficient and capable of whatever was needed to accomplish the next goal. And so I'm the underachiever in my family. They all have doctorates and I only have a bachelor's degree, as an example.
And an opera under your belt.
And a couple of operas. And so the reason I tell that story, though, is because even as dramatic as that certain death instance and or, I would say even more miraculous, healing from it, even as dramatic as that is, there's still a way that, in my mind, I could justify having come through that because of me. Because of my willpower, because of my commitment to overcoming, etc. You know.
So you're kind of defining the scriptural description, if I can put it that way, of living in the flesh. You had a very strong flesh.
That's a fact, yes. Yeah. And delusional in a well-trained, well-thought-out worldly perspective.
So you had a well-ordered mind.
Stubborn.
He just happened to be in opposition to the
truth. It was just the wrong order.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Okay, Jason, you have made yourself now into a poster child for restoration. God has redeemed your very life and put you on a path to, quote-unquote, success again. And you're confessing to us that even then, God wasn't getting credit for it. That in your heart...
At least not enough. Not the deep credit that he's due.
And what came next?
Well, like I said, things were going quite well. My now new wife decided that we needed a new home, and so we were moving into a new LA-sized mortgage house. And as we moved, the last thing that needed to be moved out of the townhome we lived in into the new place was a 6-foot by 6-foot glass tabletop. To give a visual, really the only way you can move a piece of glass or really anything that big and flat is cupped in your hand as it hangs down and supported by just your hand and then running up and down across the side of your face and then going above your head, obviously. So, and that's just fine as long as both people
are very, very careful,
are holding both sides equally well. The short version is the gentleman on the other side of the glass dropped his half, which meant even though I was still holding the bottom of my side, the top was no longer connected to the bottom, and therefore the entirety of the sheet of glass fell through, slid down the side of my face and fell through my neck, essentially, falling into my neck like a guillotine.
So this slab of glass, which is innocuous, is suddenly a weapon.
Yes, sir. A weapon of mass destruction in my personal life.
And away went what?
Well, as it fell into my neck, it would have fully decapitated me, aside from the fact that it shaved off the nerves on my spine, and it stopped at the bone. Well, unfortunately, as it fell through the front of my neck, it went effectively from my voice box all the way up to my right ear and all the way back down to my spine. So really, imagining a Pez dispenser is a decent visual. It severed both jugular veins. I didn't even know I had to until that day, and apparently there's an internal and an external. And if you're an extremist like I am, you should go all the way. That's how I look at life. So we went all the way.
You weren't looking at much life after this.
No, sir. I went. It's funny how quickly your perspective can shift, given the right circumstance. Having severed both jugular veins, went into how do I not die mode very quickly. As the eldest of 8, I'm fairly good at telling people what to do to get a mission accomplished. So
you're not unfamiliar with crisis at this point. You just talked about the car accident that led to your first encounter with God's provision that you were not acknowledging.
Yes, sir.
So you knew in that moment, this is serious. And I've been to serious before, but this is a different kind of serious.
It's funny you bring that up because I knew literally as my lifeblood was flowing out of me, I had precious moments to do what needed doing. And so I thought to myself, how can I effectively organize this in a way that I will live? My wife knows that I am not dramatic, ironically.
And for all the time on the stage.
I thought to myself, what is the most efficient manner I can express the severity of the situation, the gravity of what's really going on right now? And so I turned to her and I said, baby, this is bad. Now, she knew that I wouldn't have said that unless it were catastrophically bad.
And if the blood wasn't speaking for itself already, your words were.
You have to remember, she was in the first accident and listened to me getting cut out with the jaws of life for 20 minutes screaming for my life. So she's already at this point got substantial PTSD issues. And so now she sees her new husband bleeding to death on the floor on this day that was supposed to be a wonderful moving into our new house day. Everything has shifted for the worse. I mean, she has already seen me through this, how could this possibly happen circumstance. And we've already lived through it. So karmically, we should be paid up.
You would think.
We already had.
Your account with the universe is paid in full.
One would hope. And,
but that's not how God works.
And yet, here we are again. So I expressed that to her in those three words. Baby, it's bad. And then I asked her to dial 911.
I would say that from what you describe of your injury, that the miracle itself was that God gave you enough voice to say those very words.
Exactly. And we could get into all kinds of variations on a theme of when did I have a voice and when did I not. But in those moments, I was able to tell the three people there, my wife and the two people who were supposed to have been moving that glass table, what to do. So I told one gentleman to grab something and hold my neck shut. And so he grabbed the only thing that was left in the place, and that's a dirty U-Haul moving blanket, and held it up against inside my neck, essentially. And then I had the other gentleman, who's a really big guy, hold me upside down against the wall, holding my heels against the wall so that what blood I did have would stay flowing to my brain. I'd be able to stay conscious. One of the many miracles in that day was the fact that I didn't go into shock. So as we went through all of these very quick action shifts, I came to a place where, all right, now I've done all the pragmatic things that need to be done on a physical level. But the odds of me dying in the next minute are immense. I should probably get my eternal account settled. I'm a pragmatic man.
You have a plan.
I'm a pragmatic man. How can I, you know, what now needs to happen?
Yep. And we're going to have to pause it right here for part one of this amazing testimony recorded from Jim's Diner in Austin, Texas, hence all the ambiance there. We'll have more Bram's Chat with Jason Black on tomorrow's Compassion Radio. Much more to come, and a special New Year's word from Bram after we get a taste of the music of Jason Black.
Thunder rolls and crashes, time stands at a still. Every try, every step of my endless mind. When I stumble, when I fall, you taught me through it all. Never say die. Is like a knife, so cries, so cold, barely breathing. I hold on to life with open eyes.
That's Jason Black and Never Say Die from his album called Phoenix. You know, friends, the mission of Compassion Radio is to be the eyes and ears, hands, feet, and voice of Christ's compassion, serving those who suffer the most, wherever faith costs the most. Now, before we close for the day, here's a good word for the new year from Bram.
Happy New Year, friends. Thank you so much for making it possible for us to finish well in 2017. Because of you, we're completing 74 years of continuous ministry. Because of you, more people are hearing this daily broadcast than ever before, all across the United States. Because of you, new works of God in new places are now known here in the West, challenging the body of Christ to engage in the great work of completing the Great Commission. Because of you, we've gone to get the story of God's work right in the center of the world's most dangerous and threatened places. Because of you, persecuted believers in dozens of countries now know that they are not forgotten, that their suffering matters to God and to God's people. Friends, in 2018, we're taking one of the most important steps in the history of our ministry as we refocus on the primary purpose of helping to unite the body of Christ around the world through interactive reporting and transformational encounters. So for 2018, I'm inviting you to join us in the most important work that Compassion Radio has ever done. It begins today with your prayers, encouragement, and financial support of Compassion Radio. 2017 year-end giving was sufficient enough for us to stay on track and on this station. But we don't have the luxury of waiting passively this month. Simply put, we need you. We need to come out of the gate at full speed, in the full confidence of God's Spirit and the unity of God's people. If you've never been a part of our Compassion Radio team before, now is the time. If even 1,000 of you, spread across the hundreds of radio stations where this program is heard daily, would make the decision to join our vision team with even a small monthly gift, every question facing us, every challenge before us, would immediately turn into opportunities and even more compelling programming for you. Would you pray about this right now?
If you've received any inspiration from Compassion Radio, if you've ever been challenged or moved by what you've heard here, if you've ever wanted to play even a small part in reaching the world for Christ and bringing it closer together, then please join us in this work today. Even a monthly gift of $18 in 2018 would make it possible for us to survive and thrive this year and in the years to come. But truly, it begins today. Bless you, friends, and thank you for taking this challenge seriously and courageously.
Call us with your gift today to 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can give securely online at CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And that toll-free phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. I'm Jim Governale. On behalf of Bram Floria and the entire Compassion Radio team, Happy New Year, and we'll see you again tomorrow for the next edition of Compassion Radio.